it is that time of year when Bumbershoot's music lineup comes out and Puget Sounders decide, do I love it? Do I hate it? Am I going to go to Bumbershoot? Music journalist Charles Cross says the lack of major headliners has already disappointed some people, but if you're one of those people who's disappointed, he wants you to check yourself.
What I think people are already forgetting is that this is a very compromised financially Bumbershoot. The festival was essentially bankrupt and for all practical purposes should have gone away because it's lost so much money the last couple years that if this were a completely private enterprise, there's no way anybody would continue with it. But looking at just the musical lineup, you know, you have a very Seattle-centric Bumbershoot. You have Macklemore and Ryan Lewis and Death Cab for Cutie as the big headliners. But it is not, you know, the biggest act of the day. It's not Beyonce. It's not Adele. So there are going to be people complaining just based on the fact that these are not the biggest superstars of the day.
And these are not the biggest superstars of the day because of a lack of money, because Bumbershoot doesn't
Absolutely.
Bring in enough money?
Absolutely. I mean, what people, I think, have a tendency to do is compare Bumbershoot's lineup to other festivals like Coachella and some of the festivals like Bonnaroo. And those festivals are private enterprises done in individually owned or rented spaces where the promoters can control everything about the space. If Bumbershoot could happen in the middle of the gorge at Sasquatch, the festival could be done for probably half the expenses that it takes to do it at Seattle Center. But, you know, there are some great acts in this lineup. People may miss them because they're not superstars. They're down in the smaller type on the poster.
What's a great act you're thinking of?
Well, I absolutely think that Andrew Bird is an incredible performer who's done, you know, a vast number of very creative albums that many people have never heard. You know, Father John Misty is an incredibly talented guy. I love the Blind Boys of Alabama. Yes, maybe it's thin on legacy acts, the Bob Dylans, the John Hyatts, the Bonnie Raitts. Those are not on this list. And I think that that traditionally has been kind of Bumbershoot's typical crowd. That was the backpack and Birkenstock crowd that you saw at Bumbershoot over the years. What's happened the last couple of years is that Bumbershoot is definitely skewed young. This is a very young lineup. The idea is let's get every 17-year-old in town to come to the show. Whether they succeed or not is a little tricky thing because 17-year-olds' attention turn very quickly from one band to the other.
Is Bumbershoot still a Seattle festival, or is it a national act series run by an L.A. corporation and it just happens to take place in Seattle?
It is both. It is still a Seattle festival. Number one, you have the two major headliners are Seattle bands, and there are a number of Seattle bands that are down in the smaller type. You know, virtually almost every band in town is playing Bumbershoot, and many of those bands are great bands. But this is indeed owned by a major corporation essentially now. And, you know, many of the bands that are at Bumbershoot are playing other festivals that the same promoter is booking other places. So that is indeed affecting Bumbershoot. Before, Bumbershoot was a one-off. It was done by a promoter that did nothing else. And they had great ideas. Sometimes they had bad ideas. But they were always Seattle ideas. Now this is a compromise festival, but we're lucky to have it in any form.
Charles Cross, if you were running Bumbershoot, what would you do?
Well, one thing that I liked about Bumbershoot was the uniqueness of how you could get acts that weren't actually on tour, bands that hadn't played anywhere else for a couple months, and you would see really creative stuff that you didn't see elsewhere on tour. It wasn't the same set that was going to be in Portland and San Diego. You know, I would like to see more of that. Another thing that the kind of old Bumbershoot did, which was both brilliant and also kind of a commercial disaster, is they would pair really weird bands. You would have Buck Owens, who played at Memorial Coliseum, and they paired the Screaming Trees opening up for Buck Owens. It was brilliant. It was one of the greatest pairings of shows that I've ever seen. And the audience that kind of melded together at that show, you know, you had country fans next to grunge fans, and it was nuts. And to me, Bumbershoot has always been best when it's super creative and it's edgy. This lineup, you know, at the moment when I look at it, maybe lacks that to some degree, but we'll see what they bring in. They have 20 more acts that are not announced yet. And that's what everybody wants to see, is who else is going to be on this lineup.
okay, this is an annual exercise. You like the Bumbershoot lineup, you love it, you hate it. Overall, what's the takeaway? How should we feel about Bumbershoot?
Whatever your take is on whether you like the lineup or not, don't forget that this is a gift to music lovers in town. This is an incredible festival. It is a great city asset. And despite all the carping that you hear from people who want to see every superstar in the world for one ticket price at the all-you-can-eat buffet, the music, the art, the comedy, the literature stage, which is one of the greatest things about Bumbershoot that hardly ever gets talked about, this is an incredible asset that we have in the city, and I just hope that people support it.
Seattle-based music journalist Charles Cross telling you about the 2016 music lineup at Bumbershoot.